to stand together with us. Turn to number seven. Number seven.
Again, it's good to be here today, and I had asked Sister Amber if she would share a song with us today, and she consented, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful that she's willing to use the talent. She has a beautiful voice, and I'm thankful she's willing to use the talent that God has blessed her with. So I'm going to ask Sister Amber if she would to come at this time and share a song with us. You pray for her.
Feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must run. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. perch high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
I appreciate that. I'm going to ask Sister Brittany to come, and she may want somebody to play for her. No? Okay, so we appreciate her too and her being willing to share a song with us today. So
well, I want to say that I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for the spirit that I feel, even though I don't know many of you. I just ask that you'd pray for Jeremy and I, that we would just be able to live a life for the Lord and not let things that we want in this world get in the way of that. I've had this song on my mind and on my heart lately. It's called Nothing Between. And I just feel like this song's really for me. I need to not let anything come between serving my Lord because of what he's done for me. So just pray for me. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like pride pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved there's nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Amen. Appreciate the good songs today. I suppose that probably in most cases with our children, they grow up and they go to school and they get older and they begin to have some independence, and a lot of times along the way they meet someone at school or maybe at work or someplace, and they fall in love and they get married, but they meet their life companion, and of course you begin to love them and usually very quickly learn to love them. But I was just thinking about Brittany. Looks like we're going to get a daughter-in-law that I've known her ever since she was born. And I thought about as she sang today, I remember when she was seeking the Lord to be saved. And I'm thankful that God saved her. I hope and pray that for her and for all of us, that we would let nothing be between us and the Lord. Things can come between us if we let them, but we ought to keep our lives yielded to the service of God. I'd like to ask for your prayers today, as always, as I stand before you to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I'm just going to tell you at the very beginning here that I came today to this service very much with a prayer on my heart that if you're here today and you're lost, that you might get it resolved with the Lord today. And I think that we need to always remember that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This may be it for you. That's something we just don't know. But I do know this, that if you're lost today, you need salvation today. You need to come to know the Lord today. And I came here with that prayer on my heart this morning. I'd like to read just a few verses of Scripture from two places today. First, in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And I want to begin reading there with verse 44 and read just about three verses. Jesus here, speaking in parables. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, he said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." And if you'd like to read further with me, then please turn to Isaiah chapter 55. And I want to read the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 1.
Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And we certainly heard a good lesson taught Tuesday evening on the sure mercies of David, and heard Brother Wheat allude to that as well this morning. My thought this day that I want to bring before you is the eternal gift. I want you to think about that with me, if you would, the eternal gift. And let me ask you the question today. Wouldn't you like to have something that will last forever? That will never decay? That will never rot? That will never perish? But will last forever? Now, the tangible things of this life, and this is just a reminder, because I know today that I address an audience intelligent enough that you already know this, but the tangible things of this life just won't be eternal. They just are not going to be eternal. They're only going to be here for a little while, and then they're going to be gone. But I want you to think with me today about things that are eternal, and I want to ask the church today and all of you that are here today that know the Lord, I want to ask you to pray today that as this message goes forth that there might be something said in this, or there might be something done in some other aspect of the service today that would help us and help those who are lost to look today and to long today for eternal things, because they're so much greater than what we have here. You know, I realize I have enjoyed my life up to this point. What a wonderful life God has blessed me with up to this point. And I've enjoyed the time, and it seems like I think about this every year that I get older. I seem to think about it more and more. I have enjoyed the time that I've had here on the earth thus far, and I've have enjoyed and loved and rejoiced many times in the fellowship of the saints. I love to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I love to be in God's house. I love it when we can be together. You know, this is the great highlight of my week, to be able to be in the house of God with those with whom I share a kindred spirit. You know, there's not many people out in the world that understand us. We understand one another. We've got something in common. We've got a kindred spirit. We have what Jude called a common salvation. And I have certainly enjoyed, but I know and realize the reality that all of this is coming to a close here on the earth. I mean, we're not really together here for that long. Moses said, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet are we soon cut off and we fly away. We're not here together for very long, and whatever possessions that we do have while we're here on the earth, we're not here to have those things and to use those things and enjoy those things for very long. Soon, this will be over for us. I'm glad I've got something eternal. I'm glad I've got something better than this. I'm thankful that what I have here in this life, as much as the Lord has blessed my life, I'm thankful that I've got something better than what I've ever had down here. And I hope and pray today that, as I said earlier, if you're here that are today and lost, I hope and pray that before this service is over today, that you'll be able to look at this day and say, you know, on that day in November of 2006, there on Sunday morning, when I went to service at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, there that day I called upon the name of God and I got something better than what I had up to that point. I hope today that you will gain something eternal. We've read in these verses about buying and selling. And you know, if you read in the Bible, you can go back and you can find that for thousands of years now that that buying and selling has been done. We read about people way back in the Old Testament. And I'll tell you what, I'm not very smart about economics, to be honest with you. That's not one of my best subjects. But I do know enough about an economy to know that economies thrive on buying and selling. Buying and selling, trade. You know, people work all week, work hard. Go out and labor hard all week working for somebody or perhaps working for themselves, that they might gain something monetary, that they might trade it to somebody else, that they might get the things that they need. Trade, we buy, we sell. And the Bible talks about that, and people have done that for thousands of years. I wonder how much money, and I wouldn't even dare venture a guess, but I wonder how much money this past Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, I wonder how much money exchanged hands in the shopping centers, in the malls across our country. I'd be afraid to even guess how much money was spent. Brother Lowe and Brother Doss in prayer meeting Wednesday night, they spoke to us about something that many of us here today don't know about. They spoke about having experienced a time here in our country when things were much different than they are now, the days of what we know as the Depression. And probably, no doubt, with many people in that time, it was perhaps something unique to be able to go and buy something. They certainly weren't able to do what we do today. We live in a country, and I'm just going to be honest with you what I think. I think we're spoiled. I think we have spoiled ourselves in a lot of ways. But we go out and we buy and we sell, and sometimes without giving much thought to it at all, and people will crowd the shopping centers, and sometimes they'll want something so bad that they'll almost knock somebody else down. Me personally, I just stay away from them. I don't even like to go. My wife says, "You want to go shopping?" Nope. Next question, please. She goes out, she shops. A lot of people go out and shop. I just don't like to, especially on those busy days, I don't like to get around it. People can become very rude. I mean, really, people can become very rude doing this thing that they call spending money, going out looking for, you know, something they want to buy and take little thought about somebody else or little consideration towards somebody else. If I could get to that thing first, I'll get to it and I'll buy it before somebody else can buy it. And, you know, then my kid can be happy and their kid can just not be happy. I mean, it really... It's treacherous. But it amazes me, and this time of year, the shopping. Everything is focused on a gift. A gift. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go shopping and I'm going to buy someone a gift. And, you know, when I remember when my children were growing up, a lot of times at Christmas, they would get something very small. I mean, something, you know, maybe it cost a quarter or something. They would buy something very small and they would give it to me for Christmas. And there would be such, you know, joy and love in their eyes and in their little hearts. And you know that they were just delighting in being able to give to you this small gift. And I'll tell you what, I think that really when it comes to the giving of gifts one to another, we've lost a lot of the joy of it because people want to go out and they want to find that perfect gift and they want to buy that gift that maybe nobody else could buy, and there's just so much put into it that a lot of times we just overlook the importance of it and the joy of it. You know, it really is the thought that counts. Well, God sure put a lot of thought into His gift to us, didn't He? A lot of forethought went into the gift that God gave us. The Bible says that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God made a plan for man to be able to be redeemed and have the gift of eternal life before man even existed. Not only was there thought, but there was great forethought put into God's plan of salvation. And it just amazes me how that people will push and shove and work so hard to gain the money to be able to go out and buy things, not only things that they want to get for other people, but things that we want to get for ourselves. And people will work, and I mean really work, and really labor. And oftentimes, I know when we do this, oftentimes we go way beyond the point of laboring just that we might gain the things that we need. You know, oftentimes the things that we need, we could stop well short of the extent that we go to gain not only the things we need, but the things that we want. It's just amazing what people will do to be able to obtain things that are material, things that are tangible, things that won't last. People will work themselves to death to have them. And I want you to understand something today, that I am not I'm not speaking against hard work. I believe in hard work. I do. I was taught, when I was a boy, I was taught to work hard. My dad was a firm believer in people working and laboring, and I was taught that. But what I'm talking about today is what people will do to have things that really don't amount to much at all. I think in our day and age, you could make and market just about anything. It doesn't even have to make sense. I mean, you could make something and market it, and if somebody could think of any reason for it at all, somebody would buy it just so they could say that they had it. It wouldn't make any difference what it was. I used the example one time I was trying to preach about this, and I said, I think you could invent an electric dog polisher and somebody would buy it, just so they could say that they had an electric dog polisher. They would buy it. And all the while, people will turn away the greatest gift of all. Turn it away. Let me ask you this. today? Where is your heart today? What are the thoughts and the intents today of your heart and your mind? Are you looking for something that will satisfy your flesh while you live here in this world for a little while? Or are you looking for that today and longing for that today that will satisfy the soul for all of eternity? Friends, that's a great big question, and that's something that you need to deal with today in your own heart. What is your heart desire today? Because the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, there have been people that have failed to seek the Lord and get right with God while they had the opportunity, because something else in this world meant more to them than the salvation of their eternal, immortal soul. Maybe they thought that if they were to become a Christian, that they wouldn't be able to hang out with the same friends that they did before. Maybe they thought if they became a Christian, that the popularity and the fame that they had gained among people would be gone. Or maybe they just thought if they became a Christian that they wouldn't be able to do the things in life that they consider to be fun. Friends, listen. There have been many, I'm afraid far too many, that have lost their eternal soul because they wanted to have something that they could see and touch and feel while they were here in this life. And what a horrible trade they made. I want to go back to where I read from Isaiah for just a moment here and talk about some of that. In Isaiah chapter 55, there's an invitation there. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe in this, that there's a universal invitation that has gone out. Everyone that thirsteth. But let me say this, that you're never going to come to the Lord. You're never going to be able to come to the Lord and to fully trust him the way that you need to in order to be saved, unless your soul is thirsty. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Friends, that spiritual thirst and that spiritual hunger for righteousness has got to be there. And I believe that God will put it there. But oftentimes it's not, as I said, too often it's not that spiritual thirst and that spiritual hunger that people are concerned about satisfying. They want to satisfy that hunger of the flesh. But Jesus said, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. Those that hunger after the things of God. And friends, I believe Brother Davison has already alluded to it this morning, and it ought to be a burden in the hearts and the souls of God's people that we are not hungry for the things of God the way that we ought to be. But those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, God said they shall be filled. The night that I got saved, I promise you that there was never a time in my life prior to that or after that that I hungered for God to fill my soul the way that I did there that night. when the Lord spoke peace to my soul. And I can't tell you what's going on in your heart. I can only tell you the things that the Scriptures tell me and things that I've experienced. But Jesus said that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, He will fill. Now, in this verse where He said, "Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Listen, the Lord wasn't telling us and He wasn't teaching us that you can buy salvation, because you can't. He was giving an invitation to those that would come and telling them that it can be obtained. There was a man by the name of Simon. He was a sorcerer, and you can read about him in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And when he saw the apostles laying hands on people and healing them, he wanted that same gift of the Holy Ghost, and he offered them money that he might have that gift of the Holy Ghost, and that he also might be able to heal. And the Apostle Peter said, "Thy money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased." Listen, friends, you can't buy the gift of God. God offers it to you freely. The price for the greatest gift, that eternal gift, has already been paid. There was only one that paid it. It took something that you and I could have never paid. There was only one that had the ransom for our sins. There was only one that could be able to pay it, and that was Jesus Christ the Lord. And thank God that He did come and pay it, because if He would not have come and paid it, then we'd be eternally damned to a devil's hell with no hope. Nobody else. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And nobody else had the blood coursing through their veins that was pure enough to remit our sins except the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, and always have believed, that if I had to, if it were necessary in order for their safety, I would gladly give my life up for my children. I'd gladly give my life up for my wife. I'll tell you what, honestly, I've had people in the world that weren't even blood relatives to me that I love so much that, and you never know until that you're faced with that, but I've had people I love so much that I thought I could give my life up for that person for their safety. And maybe when it came down to it, maybe I could and maybe I couldn't. Those are things that we only know when we're put to the test. But one thing I do know, I never could shed my blood for their sins. Only the Lord was able to do that. You got good parents, you're blessed. If you got siblings that love you, you're blessed. If you've been, privileged to grow up in this great country, you're blessed. And it's a wonderful blessing to have people love you and people that are willing to do things for you. But the only one that can save you is Jesus Christ the Lord. And you're going to have to come to Him, because He paid the price. He paid a price He didn't know, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And I wanted to put before you the question today. When Isaiah said here, "Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come," who was he talking about? Who was he talking about? Who is he that has no money? Is it just the poor man? Is it the man that we think of in our society that's poor? Is that who he was talking about? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think it's all of us. I think he that hath no money covers all of us, because none of us had anything. It wouldn't make any difference if you had all the money in the world. You couldn't buy eternal life from God. It's not for sale that way. So he that hath no money is all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there was none of us, and there is none of us, that has anything to offer God that would merit him saving us. We are all the same in his eyes. And friends, listen. Today, if you are lost and in your sins, that's exactly the way that God sees you. When I was lost and without God, that's the way that he saw me. There are terms that we use. We may say, this is a good little boy, or this is a good little girl. But I want you to know that when God looks down from heaven, he sees us for what we are, the sinners that we are. That's the way he saw me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and everybody needs his salvation. I've heard people say when they were saved, and I understand wholeheartedly what they're saying. I've heard people say, when I was saved, I guess I didn't have a nickel or a penny in my pocket when I was saved. But you know what? If you would have had $1 million in your pocket, it wouldn't have made any difference either. You couldn't have bought eternal life with it. We just don't have what it takes to purchase that. God did that. And it's, friends, listen today, it's yours for the asking. Doesn't that show us the folly of man and the way of man's thinking? When we see how much people will put into, buying gifts and trying to find that perfect gift and trying to work hard and have things that are tangible, but when God comes knocking on their heart, offering them the gift of eternal life, so many people turn him away and die lost and without him. Friends, listen today. Don't do that. Don't be like that. When God comes knocking, let him have his way with you, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have something today that's eternal. I told you last week, I believe it was, one of these days, out in the near future, if I live to be one of those that goes on before the Lord comes, one of these days, the car that I drove, the house that I lived in, the guitar that I played, even the Bible that I carried to read and to preach from, the clothes that I wear, the shoes on my feet, I'll come to a point where every bit of it will be left behind me. All of it. Not one thing. It'll be like the man whose estate was being settled. The will was being read, and somebody asked, when they got down to the fine points of it, one of the family said to the lawyer, he said, well, how much did he leave? And the lawyer said, all of it. That's what we'll do. We'll leave all of it. But God gave me something 33 years ago that's eternal and that I won't have to leave behind. I remember hearing a song, I'm taking salvation with me when I go. That's what I'm going to do. I want us to have a song. I want to say today, if you're here and you're lost, that no matter how much goodness you experience in this life, no matter how much you obtain, no matter how much you have, how much you think you enjoy, you need to seek that that's eternal. You need eternal life. You need that more than you need anything else in this world. And I promise you this, as we come into this time of year, no matter what somebody might give you, no matter what somebody might buy you, you come to God asking, I mean repenting of your sins and trusting Him and really asking God to save your soul, and God gives you that gift of eternal life, everything else will fail in comparison. I've never experienced anything in my life like salvation. So let's stand and sing. I just want to give this invitation to you today if you're here and you're lost. You need the Lord. You need eternal life. God help you.
Number 334, the church hymn, the bottom of the page.